Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 170, the three stanzas. Praise waits for thee in Zion. All men shall worship there and pay their vows before thee, O God, who hearest prayer. And what follows, Psalter 170, the first, all three stanzas.
Thank you.
a portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together. It can be found in Hebrews 2, first the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe on Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Hebrews 2. Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received the just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, a God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak, but one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the Son of Man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who were sanctified are all of one. For which cause He is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Let us try to ask the Lord for a blessing. Most merciful Lord of the heavens and of the earth, then also in this Lord's day, then hitherto we have been carried upon the wings of mercy, and thou granteth once more that the doors of thy house have been opened. That is a blessing and a privilege that many upon this world have not partaken of, and then what maketh us to differ. And then surely, Lord, that is for the purpose of the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy name. May that be realized in this evening hour. Wilt thou bind profound realities upon all our hearts? Through our deep fallen Adam, then our standing has become so darkened. We cannot understand, we cannot comprehend. An Elihu of old has declared that God is great and we know him not. Then we cannot comprehend what it really is to be a human being with a body and a soul, where we had a beginning, where we shall never cease to exist, where we are traveling to a never-ending eternity, and then whether we are young and old, in light of that never-ending eternity, then there is not so much difference in age. And now thou granteth this precious time of grace unto us and our dear children, that we may be given to seek and find thee. And to that end, then we beg of thee, for the work of thy Holy Spirit, that those divine realities that in beginning we may learn who thou art, so holy, so righteous, also so good, but also to learn who we are. and that is poor lost sinners. But it is written in thy holy word that thou wast sent thy dear Son to seek and save what is lost. Lord, wilt thou do it in this evening hour? Wilt thou use and bless thy word to work that faith, but also to strengthen the faith which thou hast wrought? Bless the manifold means of grace to that end. Wilt thou continue to help the consistory? Oh, who is sufficient unto these things? May there be many errands in hers. May the labors be blessed on the Lord's day and during the week. Wilt thou help fathers and mothers in the family circles to instruct their dear children in the aforesaid doctrine in the midst of the busyness of life? Wilt thou bless thy word in our Christian school, grant traveling mercies? Wilt thou remember and bless all those that labor therein? Wilt thou also remember and help the school board when they hope to meet in this week? We commend thy church all over the earth unto thee. The established churches, the persecuted church, the Jewish people, mission work, also our mission field, Bible translators, do bless thy holy word, which may be sent into the prisons. The labors are manifold, the labors are few. May it please thee to thrust out more labors. Wilt thou grant servants for thy vineyard and teachers for our Christian schools? By renewal we commend all the temporal needs unto thee, O Lord. Do remember and uphold widowers, widows, orphans, those that have brought children to the grave, and other dear ones. May the callings be sanctified. We commend unto thee all the sick and afflicted, all under the physician's care, in special ways with all the fears and with all the worries. Grant a place at thy footstool, that when it may be in thy will, that the means may be blessed, and above all the calling sanctified. Remember the old widow in the hospital. May it please thee to soon return her to the care home. Wilt thou remember and bless our care home, a special gift which thou hast given unto the congregation already for 20 years, where our elderly ones may lovingly be cared by the younger ones. Wilt thou also work richly and mightily, lovingly by thy Spirit, also in that place? We commend an old husband and wife who in this week hope to commemorate that thou wast spared and cared for them 58 years on life's pathway in holy matrimony. Wilt thou grant them a broken and a humble heart? The infirmities are increasing. Life becomes more difficult. To that end, above all things, do save their never dying souls. Wilt thou remember all the handicapped ones wilt thou continue to remember the handicapped daughter, remember the burdens and the crosses. We commend unto thee prodigal sons and prodigal daughters, and those whom we see no more in thy house. May it please thee to remember them in thy mercy. Wilt thou remember those that are struggling with addictions and temptations? May they be given to use the means, begging thee for thy help. Where also for those matters there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. We commend unto thee land and country, our government federally, at the moment not sitting. Thou knowest the circumstances. May it please thee to show a little mercy. Remember our province, the premier, the leaders thereof. Wilt thou remember our community? May it please thee to pour out thy Holy Spirit also upon our community, upon young and old. Then we also remember our southern neighbor, where thou wast given that the new president, that he may sign many an order based upon the Holy Scriptures, that that country may be turned unto thee. And then, Lord, the enemy shall not sit still, but wilt thou grant courage and strength. May it prosper in thy hand, and that also in that nation the eyes of many of the inhabitants may be opened to be given to see, but may it also take place in our nation, how far that we have departed from thee, from thy word, from thy law, and from thy institutions. O Lord, the unborn, they continue to be murdered. Thy holy day of rest, desecrated. The seventh commandment, despised and trampled upon. O Lord, wilt thou keep us and our dear children with that old truth and with the old ways. May it please thee to place a fiery wall round about us and our dear children, where we live in a time that the temptations are so manifold. Lord, do convert us as thou hast converted all thy people. Make that take place in this evening hour. We humbly ask thee for help from the sanctuary and strengthen out of Zion, and that thy word may go forth with power divine. Wilt thou help the little boys and girls to understand, and what the children need, that we all need. We can be so beset with the cares of the world, wandering thoughts. Oh, wilt thou bind the devil, give a little rest, give a good hour in thy house. May our eyes be upon the King. May we be administered out of his fullness and receive grace for grace, and that for poor sinners, pardon us of all of our sins for Christ's sake only. Amen. Psalter 142, the four stanzas. God be merciful to me, On thy grace I rest my plea, plenteous in compassion thou. Blot out my transgressions now, and what follows, Psalter 142, the four stanzas.
Thank you.
in this evening hour with the help of the Lord. We wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 14, the question and answers 35 and 36. Question 35. What is the meaning of these words? He was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary. Answer, that God's eternal Son, who is and continueth true and eternal God, took upon him the very nature of man, of the flesh and blood of the Virgin Mary, by the operation of the Holy Ghost, that he might also be the true seed of David, like unto his brethren in all things, as sin excepted. Question 36. What profit dost thou receive by Christ's holy conception and nativity? Answer, that he is our mediator, and with his innocence and perfect holiness covers in the sight of God my sins, wherein I was conceived and brought forth. Lord's Day 14 speaks of the miraculous birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, with two thoughts. In the first place, the incomprehensible wonder of this birth, and in the second place, the blessed comfort in this birth. The miraculous birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, the incomprehensible wonder of this birth, as we find it in question and answer 35, and secondly, the blessed comfort in this birth, in number 36. Beloved congregation, in this evening hour we are called upon to meditate upon the third article, and that speaks of the incarnation and birth of the Son of God, and that he has assumed our human nature, and that is a mystery that we cannot understand, which we cannot comprehend, but declared in God's word and necessary to believe. And then in this evening hour, when we are called upon to consider these holy matters, then we all do well to reflect back a little less than 2 months, when by renewal on a special day we have commemorated the wonderful birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then to examine our hearts and our lives, how it was in that time of Advent, whether there were exercises, holy desires, and a little expectation, or whether it was as it was with that people of Bethlehem, that there was no room for him in the inn. And now for souls perhaps a few souls that in the past season, hope and expectation that they would be enabled to glance into the manger and to behold the bread of life, and that they would be given to rejoice with unspeakable joy. And then we read that the angel has come to the shepherds, where he has declared, "Behold, I bring unto you good tidings of joy, which shall be to all nations." And when that may be experienced, then the soul is given to rejoice. But now the Lord has a people upon the earth that they need that personal revelation, that application of the Son of God, as we read in Luke 2, verse 11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Perhaps a few souls where you have begged and humbly asked the Lord that it may please him, that you may receive that blessing. Or as those wise men from afar, that you may be enabled to worship and see him as the King of the Jews. Or even further in the life of a child of God, to receive that blessing of a Simeon, to embrace the Christ child, and to be given to declare, "Now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace." And then it can be in such a season that the desires and expectations are not realized, and then how bitterly sad then such souls can be, and then to go out of the old year with a solemn question, "Is it well with thee?" And now the Lord has a people upon the earth who cannot deny what the Lord has done, but who learn more and more that justice must be satisfied. And that is a people that learn more and more that they cannot satisfy that justice, and on the one hand not to despise the day of small things, but it is the work of the Spirit to keep that people restless till they may be brought to a saving knowledge of the dear Son of God. Oh, then it is the prayer of those souls that their eyes may be opened to behold the precious gift of the Father. And now perhaps a few souls in my midst, may it then please the Lord in this evening, whereby renewal we are called to consider the wonderful birth of the Son, the gift of the Father, because I read in John 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Then in the past Lord's days, then we have heard of the personal name of the mediator Jesus, because he has come to save his people from their sins. Then we have heard of his official name, Christ, that means anointed, to that threefold office of prophet, priest, and king. And now the last Lord's Day, then we have heard of his divine nature, and now in this Lord's Day, of his human nature, and also the first step of the state of his humiliation. And now we have heard in Lord's Day number 6 that it was necessary that that mediator, and boys and girls, do you remember what a mediator is? That is one that stands between two parties that have differences. And now this mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ, he stands between a guilty, a hell-worthy sinner, and a holy and a righteous God. As a Job now declared in Job 9 verse 2, how can man be just before God? And then in verse 33, he was given to speak of one that lays his hands upon both. And now the Lord has a people who learn, oh, that separation that is so great, and that is so unbearable. And they learn that that breach can never be bridged over from their side. But now, with those two natures, and in this Lord's Day we have heard it, out of Lord's Day number 6, the necessity of that human nature, in the first place, that he would be the seed of the woman, in the second place, to keep the law, in the third place, that he would be enabled to suffer and die, to bear the punishment for his children, and in the fourth place, that he may be that sympathizing high priest. Oh, that the mediator, that he would become man, that has been prophesied in the scriptures in many a place. Already in the mother promise, there he is called the seed of the woman. Further, it was declared would come from Abram, from Isaac, from Judah, that he would come from the family of David. Oh, what a precious declaration in Isaiah 9 verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Then in the first phrase, that refers to his human nature, the son is given, that refers to his divinity. And Paul has written to the Galatians that in the fullness of time, God would send forth his son born of a woman under the law. And now it was necessary that that mediator, our boys and girls, they can understand it, that if Jesus had now one sin, even one sinful thought, then he could not be the mediator, the savior for his church, because he would have to suffer and die for his own sins. And now Job has declared in Job 14 verse 4, who can bring a clean out of an unclean? And now for 4,000 years, then many children were born also in the Jewish nation. Oh, it was the desire of mothers, especially of the tribe of Judah, that that may be their portion. But because of our deep fall in Adam, then each child comes guilty upon the earth with the sin of our covenant head Adam. And now for many a century, the question, who can bring a clean out of an unclean? And now in our Lord's Day, based upon the Holy Scriptures, then eternal love, eternal wisdom, and eternal power, oh, let us say all the attributes they have found a way out, that out of the seed of the woman, out of the flesh of mankind, that one would be born so pure, so spotless and so holy, and to that end be enabled to be the mediator between God and man. Oh, what a love of the Father, that he was willing to give his dear Son to that end, that sons and daughters of Adam may be saved, that enemies may be reconciled with the Lord. Then the Father has not given the angels, but he has given a Son, his only begotten Son, that a church may be saved, and that a triune God may be glorified. And now the profound mystery, what we read, that God's eternal Son, who is and continueth true and eternal God, took upon him the very nature of man, of the flesh and blood of the Virgin Mary. In the Old Testament, there were those times where Christ has appeared to his church. Then he has appeared, we think of Genesis 18, when those three men have appeared to Abram concerning the receiving of a son, but also the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Then the third was the Lord, when we think of Exodus 3, when the Lord has appeared to Moses in the burning bush, the angel of the Lord. Joshua 5, the captain of the host. Then it is believed it was an appearance of the second person in the divine Trinity. But at those times, then it was not the assuming of a human nature, but then he has taken a body upon him. The same as with the angels. Because boys and girls, the angels are spirits. We cannot see them. It is implied in the scriptures that the holy angels are also present when the church may gather together in his house. But in this evening, we cannot see the angels. But that is a solemn thought, that the angels are beholding us and our children, how we have come up to God's house, our deportment, but also how we listen to the holy word of God. And then in the scriptures, think of Isaiah 6, then they are portrayed as cherubims with wings. And so in the Old Testament, there were times in different places that the second person has appeared to his church, but then he has also only taken upon him a certain form. But now in the fullness of time, that is such an incomprehensible wonder. We read in Psalm 139, verse 14, that the psalmist was given to declare, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. What a wonder that the birth of a child is, but more so concerning Christ, that he was fearfully and wonderfully made, because in the way that he was conceived, it was different than other children, was not between Joseph and Mary. And now that wonder that has been revealed to the Virgin Mary in Luke 1, that the angel Gabriel has come and declared unto her that the power of the Highest would overshadow her. Oh, what was upon the question? Because when the angel Gabriel said to that young Mary that she would be the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ, then she could honestly say, Lord, how can this be? Because I know no man. Young people, may the Lord also keep you in that respect for the day of marriage. And then that wonder was revealed to Mary that the Holy Ghost would come upon her, the power of the Highest would overshadow her. Therefore, that holy thing that would be born of her would be called the Son of God. And then Mary, not that she understood it, not that she could comprehend it, but then with a childlike faith, behold, verse 38, because the Lord has said with God, nothing is impossible. In verse 37, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it according to thy word. Then the Lord Jesus Christ was conceived by the Holy Ghost, and to that end, then he would have no original sin. And now concerning that wonder, then there are many unfathomable matters. The divine nature assuming the human, both retaining their personal properties. Then in the third place, then it was not two natures, not to confuse it, boys and girls, with body and soul. He had a human nature like unto his brethren. We have heard of that wonder out of Hebrews 2. Thus, the divine nature assuming the human, and a human nature that consists of body and soul. And now concerning that union, there were already many heirs, because there have been those that have tried to fathom that mystery. Then already in the early church, there was a Marian, and he has taught his people that Christ's body was not a real body of blood and flesh, but that it was only a spirit that appeared so. Then there was Apollinaris. He has tried to tell the people that actually the divine nature that was in the place of the soul, and then also in later ages, in the 5th century, then there was an Nestorius and an Eutychus. An Nestorius has taught that those natures were separated. He has tried to use the example of a marriage where man and wife have become one, but they are still two. And then there was an Eutychus that he has taught, tried to teach, that those natures were intermixed, and he has tried to use the example to make it clear to the people, when you pour water and wine together, they become mixed together. And then a special synod was called in Chalcedon in 451. And then based upon the scriptures, then they have made a declaration, not what it was, because that cannot be explained, that cannot be comprehended, but written in God's word, then in their statement they have declared what it was not. And even Martin Luther, that dear child of God, also concerning those two natures, it is true, not so clear in his writings, but then especially at the ascension of Christ, then he is taught that his human nature became partaker of those divine attributes. And there was also a man of Simons that has taught his people that the Lord Jesus Christ has went through the body of Mary, but that was not really a partaker of flesh and blood. And now the wonder that God's eternal Son, who is and continueth true and eternal God, took upon him the very nature of man, of the flesh and blood of the Virgin Mary, by the operation of the Holy Spirit, that he might also be the true seed of David, like unto his brethren, in all things accepted. Then it is true, because of the close union of those two natures, then as human nature was partakers of special gifts that excelled the children of men. And we read in Psalm 45 verse 2 that he is fairer than the children of men, and that grace is poured out upon his lips. And concerning this mystery, we read in 1 Timothy 3 verse 16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Thomas Watson, he has stated in a certain place that it was a great wonder, the creation of Adam and Eve, that they were made in the image of God. But then he has stated that it was a greater wonder that the Son of God, the second person in the Trinity, that he was made in the image of God. And that was for a purpose. So God glorifying and so soul saving, because in the manger of God was born the Son of God, the promised mediator, that lost sons and daughters of Adam, that they may be restored into that blessed communion, and in the way of the perfect forgiveness of their sins, our second thought, the blessed comfort in his birth. But let us first sing of the song of Zechariah, the first four stanzas. And now be the God of Israel blessed, who makes his truth appear. His mighty hand fulfills his word, and all the oaths he swear. And what follows, the song of Zechariah, the first four stanzas. the miraculous birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. The incomprehensible wonder of this birth. And now secondly, the blessed comfort in this birth. And then in question 36, there is asked, what profit dost thou receive by Christ's holy conception and nativity? In the born child, the Lord Jesus Christ, lies our only hope, congregation. The work of a triune God, therein lies the salvation of the church. But it needs to be applied. We need to become partakers of those blessings. And how is it now in our hearts? Is there room? Ah, there is room for much. May the Lord keep us from all the sinful things and the foolishness of the world. Shall never grant the true satisfaction, and we only increase our guilt. But now concerning lawful things, blessings, good things, which the Lord has given us to enjoy in the time, but this only for a time, shall all come to an end. Oh, ask elderly people, all becomes less, the infirmities increase, and an eternity before them. And then, how is it with our sins? Oh, what profit dost thou? 'Tis the work of the Spirit to uncover, to teach us what sinners we are, and that we can never save ourselves, no fruit from this tree forevermore. But now the precious comfort for the people of God. Oh, my unconverted fellow travelers, we have heard in the past weeks of that woman who has come to the feet of Jesus, and she was not put to shame. And so it shall all be with those true seekers wrought upon by the Holy Spirit, the love shed abroad in their heart, a people that cannot miss the Lord, a people that experience that great separation, oh, in our Lord's day. Because they read in Isaiah 7 verse 14 that he shall be called Emmanuel. And we read in Matthew 1, being interpreted, God with us. What profit dost thou receive by Christ's holy conception and nativity? Then it was necessary for Christ to have a holy birth and also a holy life. And now we read, and that is the portion of those that by the Spirit have received the essence and the exercise of true saving faith. And when by an eye of faith, they may be given to look into the manger and see the little child, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the King of Kings. And then the instructors have stated different matters, that he is our mediator. As we read in 1 Timothy 2 verse 5, only one mediator. And in Acts 4 verse 12, only one name given under heaven. That he is our mediator. And with his innocence and perfect holiness, covers in the sight of God my sins, wherein I was conceived and brought forth. Thus then the instructors are given to point to the Son of God, that by his pure birth, his conception, no original sin, because he was conceived by the Holy Ghost, that he covers in the sight of God my original sin. And now it is the general way, may not bind the Lord, but the general way that the Lord holds with his people, that they are first uncovered and become exercised with their actual sins. Oh, what can be a special sin, a bosom sin, and then they are deeper and further uncovered, and then on account of that love shed abroad in the heart, then it is desire, if it was possible, to sin no more. Has that ever become your desire? Are we exercised with our sin? Are we troubled therewith? So bring us in secret places, because we are traveling to eternity. And the justice of God requires that each of our sins is punished with temporal and eternal punishment. And all for the true child. That separation is so bitter. And then the thought, ah, that people, how exercised they can be. Ah, we live in a time that it seems that both for the unconverted and the converted, that they are not so busy with the eternal destination. And oh, for the exercised child on account of that love. Oh, of course, how terrible it shall be to come in hell, weeping and gnashing of teeth, and then our mouth full of curses. But oh, for the child of God, how bitter that thought is, to be separated from all good, from the God whom they have learned to love. And oh, it can even be, though they know shall not be possible, but it can even be that for a child of God, oh, when they learn what sinners they are, worthy to be cast away, no rights and no solution, that in their simplicity they can even ask the Lord that if they have to go to hell, that they may receive a little corner where they shall not have to hear that cursing and where they shall not have to curse the Lord. But now we read, and it is the ordinary way, first with our actual sins, and then there can still be a hope, although that hope becomes smaller. Are there souls that understand it, becoming more and more hopeless, hoped that it would become better, and a sinner still? But now in this Lord's Day. It speaks of our original sin. That is the sin of Adam, when he has broken the covenant of works. And now with that original sin, that guilt is imputed, because we read in Psalm 51 verse 5 that David has confessed, conceived in sin and shapen in iniquity. And that is evident, that is proven, because little children also die. That is the proof that that guilt is imputed unto them. But now that original sin consists not only of guilt, but also of the pollution that they inherit from their parents. And now for the child. Oh, when it is shown, when they learn their original sin, not only do sin, but nothing but a lump of sin. Oh, then how hopeless it becomes. And a holy necessity for a mediator. Also that holy conception, that holy birth, that he is our mediator. And with his innocence and perfect holiness covers. Are we busy with a congregation? For our sin to be covered, still a blessing. When there is still shame, live in a world where many sins are openly committed, that for many that they have lost their tender conscience, and they are not concerned about their fellow man. Paul has written to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 22 to abstain from all appearance of evil. There's still a blessing when there may be shame. But not only covered before man, and when there is sin, then it is necessary, when it is known, that we are given to confess and ask for forgiveness, but not only in the sight of man, because boys and girls, when you are in another room and you are planning to do something wrong and sinful, then it is best to go on your knees. Then it can be covered from the sight of father and mother, although many times it comes out in special ways. But now have we become concerned about a covering for our sins in the sight of that majestic, holy, righteous, everywhere present, all-knowing God? Has that now become our concern? It is an open book before the Lord. How is it with our sins, congregation? Whose account are they upon? Oh, when we are still unconverted, then every sin, our original sin, and every actual sin that is still upon our account, especially when we become older, what a thick volume that becomes. And it is before the Lord, all written down. And the Lord demands payment, that those sins may be covered, that they may be blotted out. May that be our need, our concern, and to learn that we cannot blot one of those sins out. And is the patience, the long-suffering of the Lord, that he lets us to continue upon this earth. Because the justice of God requires punishment, but now on our Lord's day. And that is our only hope and expectation, but congregation, it needs to be experienced. Oh, we have heard it out of Hebrews 2 verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? Ah, then we need to confess. Congregation, tell the Lord how deeply we have fallen. Should we not oftentimes ask ourselves, do we really believe what we confess? Do we believe what is written in God's word? And now it is the work of the Spirit to make it reality. Needs to become reality before it becomes reality at the end. But now in this Lord's day, oh, are there guilty souls walking with the burden of sin? Oh, it is true. There are times the Lord has a people when he sheds that love abroad, and when he speaks so comforting and encouragement to their soul, when they may hear their life declared, that it can seem that their sins are covered by the love of God. But when the Lord withdraws himself, there's all an open book. Oh, what is the necessary different degrees? Oh, the sins of a church can be covered in the way of revelation that they are given to see so much and such a beauty and such a riches in the Son of God that their sins may seem that they are all covered. Oh, think of the disciples. They were led from step to step. But on the evening of the resurrection, then they may receive the application. And on the day of Pentecost, then they may receive that seal. People of God, how is it now with that covering? May it please the Lord to grant those further leadings. Because what is now necessary for the child of God, we have learned it from Reverend Hellenbrook, justification, that is to be acquitted of our guilt and to receive a right to eternal life. And now it is necessary for the church, and then Reverend Hellenbrook has clearly stated that it is the Father that acquits based upon the perfect meritorial work of his dear Son. Oh, in this Lord's day it may be declared, may the Lord give the application, for unto you was born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Amen. Lord, we may humbly acknowledge thee for another Lord's day. Yet a few words to speak. And it is written in thy word that by the foolishness of preaching, that sinners shall be saved. May that have taken place in this day. Then it shall be a Lord's day that shall never be forgotten. Although such souls cannot give it a name, but it has all become different. Oh, to become exercised for our sins, that they need to be covered. And, Lord, remember thy children. They learn that it all must come from above. to be instructed, to be guided, and to be led by thy Spirit. And that concerns the revelation, but also the application. Grant a prayer for one another. Lord, we are privileged to begin another week. What this week holds in is unknown unto us. Thou shalt fulfill all thy counsel, but to that end we humbly beg of thee that thou may watch over each and every one of us wherever we are called to be, the mothers in the home with the children, the daytime, the night watches, on the way, at work, at school. Remember the students that are studying in institutions of higher learning. Oh, wilt thou keep us from sin and temptation? May it please thee to keep us under thy kind care and thy good protection. Wilt thou now dismiss us in thy favor? Bring us safely to our dwellings. Wilt thou be the faithful keeper, Israel, that slumbers and sleepeth not? Wilt thou bless all the labors of our hand? Wherever we have received a place, wilt thou grant strength and courage? Pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 422, the stanzas 2 and 3. With mine own chosen one, even David, God affirmed, I've made a covenant with sacred oath confirmed. I've sworn in truth to him, my servant, I will surely build up thy lustrous throne through every age securely. And what follows, 422, 2 and 3.
Thank you.
grace, save the blessing of the Lord, and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.